I believe so. I don't have any, to my knowledge, emails or anything that he wasn't going to be able to, but
Oh, okay.
maybe he'll be able to
Well,
join.
we can just go ahead, I think.
Okay.
Christian, don't you think?
Yeah, I'm fine. I don't, yeah.
Perfect. Well, let's go ahead and do roll call. Laura Galina De Lovato.
Here.
Hey, Laura. Christian Bryant.
Here.
Hey, Christian. Awesome. Well, welcome to August's RSC Exec Committee. Thank you for being here for those who could attend. We'll go ahead and just dive right in with some staff updates. This one didn't make it on the agenda, so I just wanted to, and it's going to be kind of quick here. Just the we have again reached out to Commissioner Rubio's office regarding the RSC exec appointments. It is still a waiting game, but we have done our due diligence to ping them a few times now. So when it happens, it happens. And then I will also be in the next week or so launching a recruitment to fill Pippa's position, which expires in December. So that will be in the works as well. And then to everyone who needs to be reappointed, I reached out for our last item we needed, a statement of interest, which really just is a sentence or two about why you would like to be on the body. And then as soon as I get those in, we have to go to council, which will probably be a date, hopefully sometime in September or early October. And then we should be all good to go. And so all those processes are in the works to keep the body fully staffed. Thank you, Laura.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Christian. And Ian's here as well. Hello, Ian.
Hey, Justin.
Hi, Ian.
Next on our agenda is the public testimony response policy. So this was born out of, RSC Commissioner want or desire to be able to respond to public testimony or to ask questions or to provide resources. And we've discussed this a few times now internally at PHB, and I checked in with commissioners during our one-on-one time. And really, the stance PHB is taking on this, and that I'll explain in the full body meeting, is that the role of the commission really is to take is to hear feedback from the public, to take that feedback and use it to make recommendations or alter or change policy. It's really not our place to offer individual resources to try to support people individually. And so really, we're going to shy away from that additional engagement and really make it clear that our role is to hear that feedback and have it let it influence our recommendations that we make going forward. There can this be some equity issues when we provide resources to the public. Who gets what resource? Is that resource fruitful for that person or fruitful for one person, not another person? And it's really not kind of the role we're playing, in the city of Portland. And so during our next full body session, I'll go ahead and make some space to discuss that and kind of make clear our expectations and our role and really only asking any clarifying questions when they relate to better understanding the individual's testimony and with a lens of having that, testimony, and influence our policy or recommend our policy choices or recommendations. Any thoughts, concerns, or questions around that?
None from me.
Perfect.
Nope, none on my end.
Awesome. Okay. And then another update here, we're really working on some internal processes to communicate with the public more efficiently and in a timely manner. And that goes for a few things here. So when I threw the communications policy thing on the staff update, it's really meaning a couple things. So first off, we are hammering down how often we remind people or let people know about the public body or the public body session. So our admin team and our communications team will be sending out email reminders kind of for 2 months in advance. So if we're in January, we're sending out reminders for meetings through the end of February. That way, from those communications alone, individuals will see it two times. And then I believe we're doing a week before the meeting as well. We are sharing a reminder out to the public to really standardize how we're communicating about future upcoming meetings and giving individuals ample time to be aware of the meeting and the agenda. And our goal is to have the agenda out at least a month in advance, but between 4 and 8 weeks in advance of the meeting. So having the agenda and supplemental materials available for the public so they can be as informed as possible going into the meeting or knowing when the meeting is going to occur. On that realm as well, any recommendations that we make as a body will be posted to the website within 1 week. I am currently working with our data team, or really our admin team, on posting recommendations to the website, which I believe there already are, the previous recommendations that this body's already made. And so going forward, any that we make will be posted within a week with an e-blast out to draw attention to the labors of this body, to making sure, not only internal PHB stakeholders, but the public knows that your all's work has resulted in recommendations. And here are those recommendations, and to really get the public more involved in that process and maybe, even holding leaders accountable for the work of this body. On that same note, any events that we host, so the listening session, follow-ups will be posted within 2 weeks of those. So not only kind of a breakdown of what occurred, but also the meeting recording and any other documents that were discussed within the event itself and some takeaways. Same process going on our website, and an e-blast will be sent out around all of that. So going forward, we really are buckling down on how we communicate and what that looks like. Any questions on that part?
No questions, but a thank you on that.
Of course.
I think that is very good. I think the more communication we can have, the better.
It's a lot of public accountability stuff too, Justin. Really impressive how you've demonstrated so much leadership on it. Thank you.
Of course. Alrighty. Okay. And so our next topic here is the Fair Ordinance or Policy Review Subcommittee that I'm sure you all know at this point has been postponed. We will revisit the subcommittee this winter. This really came from the resignation of our interim executive director, Molly Rogers, and then the realization that the rental services office manager is still out for another month and a half. We have no deputy director, no director, no policy and programming manager within the Bureau at this time. And so it's really becoming a staff capacity issue to host subcommittees and to start to dive deep into these issues when our leadership is not present or support or able to support us with that process, because I'm sure you all know the nature of the fair ordinances. They're really hard to get past. If we're opening those can of worms, we really would like to have leadership, PHB leadership support. And they're absent. That's leadership is not here at this point. And so it really just is a timing issue of this process. Our interim director, Molly Rogers, was a supporter of this process, but with her departure, we really need to take a step back until someone or multiple people get hired into their roles to help guide this work and, make sure the recommendations that we make are in alignment with public will and are taken, into consideration by City Council. And so I am personally bummed that we're not able to move forward with this. I was also excited, but it's just simply a timing issue relating to recent announcements that we received.
It's also, I envisioned, I mean, a lot of the stuff on it, you know, we've had presented at, you know, our RSC meetings of, you know, things that, you know, we've had good presentations kind of on both sides of different of effects of the FAIR ordinance and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of apprehensive about the subcommittee not in doing it. I think it's a good idea, but just in how well it would really be able to review it, because there's only so much data that we actually have access to. So, but hopefully over the next couple of years, that'll change. And we can actually, you know, when we start looking at things like that, we can have, you know, a bit more data as well. But unfortunately, I definitely understand not the first time that staffing issues have gotten in the way of what we would like to be able to do on a committee. So yeah, it's unfortunate, but yeah, I understand.
Yeah, I understand too, but I'm really bummed because I think the kind of points that Christian was just making, you know, what data is there? How do we get data if there isn't? Those are the kinds of things that we could be talking about in terms of talking about the ordinance. So I do hope that you mentioned, Justin, that we'd revisit this in the fall. I hope that when we do revisit it, maybe late October, I don't know when, but that we can revisit it with an eye toward standing it up again. And I mean, I know it depends a lot on the staffing, but I think it's also really critical. And to Ian's point earlier about the communications, I think there's some accountability here. We've heard enough from enough people that the FAIR ordinance is not working for them. It's not strong enough. It's this, it's that. And I think there's an obligation here to really take a look at it. So I hope we can get to that.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, I do understand, you know, that accountability aspect. And I, you know, I was really excited for, you know, to hear the feedback from the listening session and to have a tangible output for that. I was particularly excited about our ability to be reactive and responsive to that public will. And so, you know, looking at it going forward, you know, we definitely will revisit it. I mean, I have my intention to do that. And, you know, it might give us an opportunity to even take a step back and look at, you know, before we even put the subcommittee or into fruition again, you know, what data would we need on our end to make it a fruitful, impactful endeavor, and going into it more intentionally with that data already prepared could really help us not only streamline the process, but I'll come, to the table on the same page. And so that could be a great opportunity for even the Bureau to get that data prepared, whatever, you know, our requests may be prior to us revisiting this subcommittee. Any other thoughts on that topic before we move on? Perfect. Last staff update here. Sorry, one second. Is the federal research opportunities to really look at how the housing vouchers have affected the rental market. In the chat, I'll be putting in, so a few things here. I'm currently reading a book called The Housing Voucher Choice. I'm like halfway through it. So if I glean anything from that book, I'll go ahead and bring it back to this body because it really is taking a look at, I thought it'd be more in-depth about the policy around housing choice vouchers. Right now, it's kind of individual experiences, but hoping later in the text it gets to that. So I will report back with anything I glean from that. But on a different note, one of the listservs, the newsletters I subscribed to had a housing voucher, I think, week. And so there is an article that relates directly to this research that I will be getting access to here in the next week or so, hopefully. The name of the book is The Housing Voucher Choice. And I hope I did my job. And so I'm getting access to an article within the next week, which actually should really tackle some of these issues we've been wanting some clarity around. It does cost money to get access, so it can take a little bit for me to get that, but I will review it and we probably even send it out to the exec committee for review as well, since there is interest in this topic. I'm also going to put this link in the chat. You know, we do have to be mindful of scope and everything when looking at the actions of this body, but that same newsletter had a link to this, you know, ability to submit proposals to HUD for research opportunities that are critical to affect and addressing evidence gaps concerning strategic policy questions and to better utilize external expertise in evaluating effectiveness of programs affecting residents of urban, suburban, rural, and tribal areas, as well as local innovations in the delivery of these programs. And, you know, from our last RFC exec meeting, you know, we came to the conclusion that, you know, funding internally for this kind of program, for this kind of study is not really possible for the scope that would be needed. And then this popped up in my feed. And I think, you know, I've read this several times, and it looks like that is something that would align with what our question is.
Does it give you a scope of like what kind of funds available, if it like would require a certain percentage matching from the local government or anything like that, or is this pretty new information you don't know yet?
You know, I read the NOFO a little bit. I'm not sure on those questions, Christian, but I can do more of a deep dive. Funding of approximately $3 million is available through this notice, however. And, you know, if this is something that we do, you know, is pursued, you know, a model for that would probably be partnering with PSU to see if we can, if someone would like to be engaged in that study, is what I'm picturing. Go ahead.
I have a vague memory, like sometime in the first couple years of the RSC, us just doing a very unofficial inquiry on, you know, what it would actually cost. I think it was when we were kind of talking about like the rental registration program initially or something like that. And we're, because one of the problems was, you know, it was just currently we don't have the software for it. So basically we'll just, you know, it's housed in the revenue department's software, and it's, you know, limited in what we can collect, blah, blah, blah. And so we looked into, you know, what it would take to have our own system, as well as kind of do our own study to be able to start collecting all of our own data and everything on things like this. And in my mind, I have like somewhere in the $1.2 to $1.5 million range. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, pre-COVID, you know, a number of years ago. So, I mean, up to 3 million, my guess is, if it's actually realistic and we qualify, that there's a decent chance we'd be able to get at least a good sizable chunk of funding from, you know, from that if we're actually qualified. So it'd be worth looking into if you got the staff time to really dig into it seriously.
Yeah, and the due date isn't till, I mean, we have until June of 2025.
We do.
Why? So that does give some time, and I love the idea of partnering with PSU. That is very interesting.
And I'm not sure which state organization is in charge of it, or is going to be in charge of it. But there might be, especially if we're going for some, especially like some matching federal funds or something, there might be at least some state funds available. Linked to which law was it that was passed? Was it 611 or 2001 The one that increased the number of days for a non-payment notice, but the other 80% of the text of that bill was all about the housing study mm-hmm. and that whole process. Well, they earmarked, what was it? I think like $35 million or something like that as, you know, available grant money for locals to, you know, for essentially infrastructure preparing to be able to actually collect that data. So there haven't been any administrative rules come out from that law yet that would really break down who's in charge of it, what the application process would be or anything like that. But that'd be something that I think would be worth looking into as well. Because given, you know, Portland Metro obviously being one of the larger populous areas of the state of Oregon, you know, if there is some funds available there to also go towards this, then, you know, like always in finding outside funding for local stuff like this, it might end up having to be kind of a patchwork thing where we get a little bit of federal, a little bit of state and somehow make it work.
Great idea, Christian. Oh, yeah. And what I'll do, you know, is I found this and earmarked it. You know, I will discuss this with my manager, interim manager, Antoine at PECA, and in regards to exactly how this process would work internally. I'm not exactly sure. But we do have plenty of time. I'm imagining the process would be me talking to my manager, and then and if we're planning to move forward, or even if we have to halt it until, again, leadership is in place, we'd still have plenty of time to put in a proposal before the due date. And then, you know, probably a full body vote from the RSC on this, and, you know, however we want to tackle a proposal, either, you know, internally at PHB with approval from the RSC, or having, you know, RSC, you know, co-lead the writing of that proposal, to give people, you know, some input on exactly what we want to collect, as well as even just, you know, leadership experience in this area. I think that could be really a good opportunity for the body and, you know, this information, we need it. So, and it would be interesting to have that, locally for the Portland metro area as well.
Is this right here to explore the link between vouchers and overall housing costs?
I'm sorry?
Was that the topic that this would be considered for linking? Okay.
Yeah, so I think like that federal grant wouldn't, the way it's worded, it wouldn't necessarily be 100% of what we're hoping for as far as just an overall, you know, rental market or even just housing market study with, you know, all kinds of different data points and stuff. But I think it definitely could be, you know, it could definitely fund a good chunk of what we want if, you know, as far as if we make this proposal on just the study of the stuff that is specific to this grant. And then, you know, who knows, maybe just the simple fact that we're making that effort and getting that money might, you know, make whoever's in charge of the state money be willing, you know, to throw in some money to round out the study for what we really want. Or who knows, maybe it's just we get these federal funds and we just start with the voucher related stuff that is covered by it. And it's going to kind of dictate what we're able to study. So it stays within the guidelines of qualifying for those funds too. So, but who knows, hopefully at least it'll be a step in the right direction.
And that's sort of what I'm asking is what, so if we find, you know, I'm just sort of trying to think through what do we do with, like, it is a lot of, I don't want to downplay it. I don't just want to throw cold water on it, but we would be sort of spearheading our own, perhaps local, perhaps not local study. There would be a lot of work even just to apply. And then I'm sort of trying to remember the genesis of this issue. How does it then inform work that the RSC would do? Right. And then how do we weigh that against like all the time and in energy we're putting in terms of the utility?
That's a great question, Ian. Yeah. I mean, the genesis really is from this was months ago now, I guess, you know, mentioned by several different commissioners and was the request was continually made enough where that, you know, on our end, Brianna, before she left, did some deep dives into some research that we, you know, couldn't find the exact answer for this question of how the how vouchers affect the housing market. And so that kind of led to this conversation. If we can't find the research, what would it take to do the research? In the infancy of this conversation, really, this is a really good question of how, you know, what the push would be for this. Is there will from the, this would be a huge push for not only this body, but for the Housing Bureau itself, with probably other contract management. Having to hire a contract manager or staff time specifically for this contract, if we were to get this. We have to look at where the, jurisdiction of each, not only government body, but also advisory body lies in this. However, I could see if this information is needed and it's continually coming up, not just for this body, but, from public will, then we, having the RSC spearhead this or proposal of having this research could really impact future policy choices, depending on what we find from the research. But again, I am not too certain. Laura.
So I would say just kind of your memory. And this has kind of been just an ongoing thing since the beginning of the RSC is that, we can't really say the exact number overall, not just the housing related, the voucher related stuff. The voucher related stuff is just the topic of the federal grant. So it's just a way to kind of chip away at it. But the RSC topic that has always been on the table that we haven't been able to solve because there's no money for it is just having the actual data about our housing inventory and what the effects of the ordinances that we have passed have been. Have they actually done what they're supposed to be doing? Do they need to be, if they're not, do they need to be stronger or not? People like myself bring up that, I hear from landlords all the time that are selling their rental properties and so you have low inventory on the sales side on single family homes. If those happen to be, single family home rentals where a lot of them are losing them off the rental market. We don't really actually have the data to prove that. It's just, I do hear that all the time. And on vice versa, on the tenant, advocacy side, they've also agreed with, we definitely need a lot more data on exactly where the state of our housing is and the inventory that we have in all the different levels and what the effects are, because they have run into the same exact same problem. So, just the general overarching topic that the RSC has wanted is just getting that data. With the recent state laws, one way or another, we're going to be required to have it unless they reverse that in the next, next session or two. So one way or another, it's going to end up happening if that doesn't go away. And I think, we directed Justin to look into potential federal money since we know we didn't have the money to do any kind of big local housing study or anything like that. And that's where this one came from. It definitely, since it would have to be linked to the effects of vouchers, it wouldn't, definitely wouldn't answer the question that the RSC is wanting as far as the overarching just kind of housing study, but it might be in the step in the right direction. With that said, I would say, as an executive committee, before we officially bring it to the RSC, if, to see if they want to at least endorse it. Because it is a fairly large project to take on something like this. So it'd be mostly on the Housing Bureau, and really the RSC would probably just write an endorsement letter of some kind to go along with it. But if we really want to do that, I would definitely want you, Ian, to look into, what that study is really looking into and get your, official opinion on it, coming from that voucher side, since that's, the effects, that seems to be the focus of that grant. And just kind of get your side of it too before we really move forward.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, thanks, Christian. I just wanted to add that my recollection of wanting to go into this was that we kept hearing statements and assumptions that vouchers are driving up rents, so that the more vouchers are used, and we're talking locally funded and operated vouchers, and that the more vouchers and rent assistance that's available to housing providers, the more the rents go up. And I think that's where we just found that there was no data that could be collected to explore that and some of the assumptions around it. So I think what I would say before we even go down the road on this funding opportunity from the feds, which has a strategic goal of promoting homeownership, so we'd need more time to look at this and specifically, is to sort of take this idea that Justin has proposed of putting together, getting some funding to cover the research to answer a couple specific questions. And I think we have to go back and nail down the question. I'm thinking of the question we're trying to answer as being a little bit different than what you said, Christian. And so I think maybe a little bit more time trying to really nail down what is it we're trying to figure out about vouchers and the impact that they have, and what impact do they have on increasing rent. So I think maybe a little bit more conversation about what problem are we trying to solve, what are we trying to figure out, and then maybe go from there. Just a thought.
Well, that sounds good. Thank you, because that was all responsive to my question from all three of you, so I appreciate the thoughts.
You're muted, Justin.
Thank you. I will explore this with my management and who I have a meeting with on Friday and report back as soon as possible, and then we'll take it from there. Awesome. Alrighty. Next stage here is just the proposed September RIC agenda. So just going through this really fast on my end, then I'll open to discussion. Just going to go over public testimony engagement, basically what I just kind of let you all know about our PHP stance and expectations when engaging with the public during public testimony, and then an update on our executive committee recommendations. That's going to be a quick update. Additional listening/engagement session. I have talked with my management internally, and we do see the value of hosting a winter listening session before the next work plan is developed. That is something I can commit to. That is something I have capacity for in that realm and support for my team, which does not, you know, require too much input from upper leadership when kind of coordinating these efforts. And so really for this purpose, we're just gonna get a full body vote on it next session. And then I'll go ahead and start the planning process by sending out some dates, depending on the time frame, being cognizant of the holidays and wanting to have kind of the session complete with findings out to the group before the first session in 2024, where we'll make the next work plan. I'll let everyone know about the policy review subcommittee and how that's on hold. And then I'll make a place here as well for the federal research opportunity, depending on what I hear from my leadership team. And then fingers crossed, we make some recommendations based on the 14.6% rent increase and long-term rent assistance, hoping to finish out these topics in the next session. And then I'll follow up with recommendations as soon as possible. Written recommendations for the body to approve in the next meeting. I guess that was how that would work. So in the November meeting, okay. And then I made some space here for the follow-up policy for recommendations. When we make that, I heard this from several commissioners, just giving the body the chance to weigh in on what they would want. Ideally for holding the county officials accountable, holding city officials accountable, excuse me, as well as what that process would look like and what, you know, what is realistic and impactful from our time. And then public testimony should not be on here again. I'll take that off. And then revisiting the 2023 work plan, which
I think I'm guessing that public testimony part was people actually.
Oh yeah. Thank you, Christian.
Author, yeah. Public engagement. Yeah. So don't remove that.
That makes sense. It's like it's on here too many times. And we do have some web pages that will be posted in the next few weeks that me and my colleague Nikki Lumclair developed on public testimony. I'll probably present those during our meeting too. It's just an overview for the public to know what to expect when coming in and some tips and tricks on how to give an effective public testimony. We have developed those and we're just waiting to meet with our data and internet team to get those posted, which will happen the second week in September since there are a lot of vacations between then. And then I have revisit the 2023 work plan. And so what are our thoughts on this process? Revisiting the work plan is also on our agenda today. And so what are our thoughts, concerns, questions around this proposed agenda?
I think we should definitely have it as an item on the agenda for the full meeting. I mean, I think that if we can get the finalized recommendation for the rent assistance, the long-term rent assistance done, then the next question is, okay, now what? Now what do we work on? And so I think at this meeting, it would be important to say, let's review what's on the work plan. And what else did we have that we were going to talk about? Is it possible for you, Justin, to send with the RSC packet before the next meeting a summary of the work plan and the items that we had identified so that in advance of the September meeting, the other commissioners can get reminded these are the items?
Absolutely, Laura, not a problem. Good idea.
Excellent.
Since after this September meeting coming up, we only have one more RSC meeting in 2023, shouldn't this kind of be the beginning of the 2023/24 work plan discussion? Since I'm guessing we're not going to 100% accomplish it in one meeting.
I don't disagree. I think I think that could be the conversation. We've got one meeting left. What do we, is there an action item we can take at the November meeting and then talk about what items we haven't addressed? Do they roll over into the 2024? Yeah. So Christian, yeah.
I'm getting used to
every other month.
Yeah. And that's kind of what my thoughts, you know, I put this on there as well, Christian, especially with the idea of hosting another listening session prior to the development of the work plan. Like the timing of this is interesting, I will say. With one meeting left, hopefully that we would vote on recommendations. And then we want to start discussing the work plan for the next year before the listening session, or, you know, start that process and adjust based off of what we hear. Yeah. But Laura, I will commit to having a kind of a summary of the work plan and the process we got that got us to there for the next one.
Thanks, Justin.
And so, you know, if we get to that point, very, very big if, then we can come prepared with that summary and then, you know, just be transparent with the goal of that listening session and what we want to accomplish in that meeting, if we get to that point. Any other thoughts, questions, concerns on that proposed agenda?
My only thought is we're going to have to just keep it moving. That's a packed agenda.
It is.
Even
yeah.
for a two-hour meeting. So somebody can, you know, whoever's facilitating or if I'm facilitating, whatever, happy to be reminded to move on.
Absolutely. And, you know, it could even be, depending on time frame, you know, having the discussion about the follow-up recommendations could be a great thing to hold off to until the November meeting if we don't have enough time, because that during that meeting we'll be approving recommendations and having that conversation, which could be robust, and that would put us at January's meeting after the listening session to really get into the work plan. So we'll just see how much time allows.
Exactly.
Perfect. Moving on to commissioner discussions. This was just a request from Ian that I'm not sure it's a huge discussion. Probably should have gotten updates. But in case it is, I will go ahead and put this in the chat. Just commissioner, you know, we looked at, you know, how long commissioners have been serving. I just did a quick little dive into the information I could find. To just look at how long each person has served. 1 second here. And, oops. That last bullet should be two separate bullets. So it's looking like 12 individuals served 2 years, 8 individuals served 3-year terms, 3 years, 1 individual served 5 years, and 4 have served 6 years.
It's just us and Alan, right?
Yes, yeah. It's this room and Alan, yeah.
And so since there's got that 12 number at 2 years, 2 years the term, like the length of one term, right? Isn't it? So obviously, you know, I mean, it's not, if you compare it to all the others, I guess it's not the majority, but it is the largest one there. Mm-hmm. So there is some quick turnover by some people that, which could simply be explained in they've never been on a city committee meeting and they were expecting something totally different, and right. Not much of anything we can do about that in most cases. But also, who knows, you know, might be worth keeping an eye on and making sure anyone that does leave, we do get, you know, some honest feedback from them of why and stuff like that. So, you know, if we're able to, we're able to keep people on longer.
Yeah.
Is this for all RSC members since the beginning?
I believe so. It was kind of difficult for me to find like rosters. And so I had to go back through a bunch of different documents and kind of go through them. But to my knowledge, yes, this is everyone who's ever served.
That's 30. So I'd be surprised if it was much more than that.
Well, there were just in that first year, maybe it was within the first 2 years, there were people who left the commission. I thought before they even reached their 2-year mark, there were some people who just rolled off early on.
And so, that's possible. I just couldn't find the first couple of years,
I
couldn't find
that
information.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Justin.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, maybe, you know, on our end, we are doing our best to support these advisory bodies and really buttoning up processes. And so, you know, maybe we can look into developing an exit interview for a staff who leave and really keeping the information in a centralized area and bring it back to the body to see if we want to, you know, use that information to, if it's possible to use that information to alter our processes or and expectations coming into the door.
Now, I don't remember, did we have an initial intention when we asked you to pull this data, or was it,
I think it's just curiosity.
Like a blaring up problem? Okay.
That was my question. So it was just curiosity.
Perfect.
Which I would imagine, even if you compared us to other city committees, just the pure nature of the topics that we deal with, I would imagine we probably just are naturally going to have a higher turnover rate for some individuals, you know, than other city committees. As you know, there's not too many people's feelings get hurt on the budget committee. You know, they might have to deal with more numbers than they planned on, but you know, so because there's definitely been some turnover for things like that. And then there's, I'm sure, turnover from people that jump on thinking that it's going to move really fast and they're going to make some really big changes. And mm-hmm. they realize, so when their term limit comes up, they just politely decide not to re-up, you know? So it may not really be anything we can do anything about, but I think it's worth, you know, just collecting that data so that way if something does come up, then if there is a change to make, we can make it.
Awesome. I agree with that. And I can take a look at our internal processes to see what we can do on our end to make that easier. Perfect. Any other thoughts or questions around that? Well, the last thing I made space for today was just us to look at the 2023 work plan that was created. If, you know, if we need to do that before this next meeting. And again, I'll have a summary prepared. I think Ryan's pulling that up now. Just to look at the other four topics that we discussed getting through this year. and some other below that is some other possible recommendations and topics. and how we would want to tackle this conversation. Thank you, Ryan. Or what support you would need from me to have this conversation if it comes up in the next meeting.
Isn't, I don't know, maybe in my memory, I'm mixing up multiple topics, so definitely correct me if I'm wrong, but wouldn't kind of the rental registry topic, isn't that kind of go along with the whole just ongoing data collection topic that we've got going on? Or am I convoluting two different things?
You know, these came from our colleagues and us. So I think that's where, and we haven't really had a chance to dive in to say more specifically, what do you want to know about the rental registry? Is that just an update? Is it a connection to something else? Is it what you were just talking about? So I think that's maybe a lesson, another good lesson learned as we go into planning for the next year's work session is let's dig in. I mean, I could go back in my notes. I probably have some notes from our conversations about why somebody was wanting to talk about the rental registry.
Well, I don't know that I have like any grand input right now prior to just, you know, like kind of what I think you're somewhat alluding to, Laura, of just, you know, getting the input from the rest of the body, because there's going to be people in the body that are going to go, oh, no, this is what I meant by that, because they're going to remember that maybe they were the ones that recommended it or something. But Justin, I would say just a suggestion for you in mm-hmm. my experience in presenting these things is there's going to be at least 25 to 50% of the committee that's going to look at this and go, I feel like I remember this other thing. And I feel like I remember this other topic, or wait, what happened to this? So just be prepared. I would say maybe try to dig up whatever notes we had from the process that got us here. Cause I mean, you know, just by sheer nature of only having so much time, I mean, we started with, you know, a much bigger list, and then all went through kind of talking about all of them and prioritizing multiple times and got down to this. So it might save a little bit of time if you come prepared with that info, if you're able to find it, to where if someone goes, hey, whatever happened to this one idea I had, you could quickly be like, oh yeah, that came up, and it was, and as we kind of dwindle it down, unfortunately, that was one of the ones we didn't have time for, you know, whatever that honest answer is. Or something like that. So that would just be my suggestion, is try to bring in any notes or data that you do have on how we got to this list, as almost always there's at least a couple, you know, kind of questions like that.
Excellent suggestion, pure genius.
Yeah, when this process was first starting, I was just starting at the Bureau, and I watched the previous couple RSC sessions prior to starting as well. So I saw that process, and I appreciate that that recommendation. I'll definitely do that and include that in my summary, and then maybe rewatch those to get familiarized with how we got to this point.
Yeah. Really good idea.
But looking at this, you know, if there's anything besides this kind of detailed summary of how we got to this point that you all would benefit from having from me, just let me know prior to that. My goal is to get this stuff done the next week or so, or the next couple of weeks. I'm out for a little bit next week and the week after. If there's anything I can do to help support this conversation when we're dredging up the work plan again, besides what we've already discussed, let me know.
Thank you, Justin.
Of course. Well, is there anything else we want to touch base on or discuss in our last 7 minutes we have, or 6 minutes? Or can we end a little early?
I don't have anything. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good.
Awesome. Well, good to see you all. Enjoy the rest of your August, and we'll talk soon.
Ditto.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
Have a good weekend.